Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren is joining us. He's the Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, and he's going to be bringing us up to date on a couple of issues and, of course, helping us prepare for the winter months that lie ahead. Prof, welcome to the show.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope I can provide some answers.
Professor, it's always a pleasure speaking to you because you bring some semblance of normality in terms of our understanding of what's been going on. So let's talk about the winter months that are approaching, and let's also talk about this other virus known as rhinovirus. Is rhinovirus a concern? What is rhinovirus? And how do we differentiate between this rhinovirus and COVID-19?
Yes, I think, are you referring to the respiratory syncytial virus, the RSV virus?
Yeah, it seems as if a lot of people have taken to referring to it now as the so-called rhinovirus, just to abbreviate everything. So it's caused a bit of concern in various circles. People seem to think it could be another variant of COVID. Obviously, it isn't. But what is it? Can you explain to us?
Yeah, so RSV, I think, is the best way to shorten that in terms of the respiratory syncytial virus. It's a virus that affects all age groups, but is particularly in terms of the younger age groups, in particular infants, that it has the most marked effect. So certainly you're quite right. The presentation in adults and young children can be very similar to what we see in adults. So that makes it a bit difficult to distinguish. And I guess this is also approaching the influenza season. So again, there are certainly some shared symptoms that you may want to distinguish. I think on the whole, I think that it depends on how ill you are. And I think I'm really referring to especially infants and especially young infants in the early months post delivery. If they really present with severe illness, those are the sorts of infants that are quite markedly affected and have poor outcomes and really need to be attended to in terms of the testing and interventions and treatment. I think the concern, you're quite right, is that we have gone through 2 years with COVID-19 being the dominant virus and has displaced these particular viruses such as RSV and influenza. And that's possibly the consequence of the non-pharmaceutical interventions such as the wearing of masks, hand hygiene and household hygiene. But we're certainly seeing the resurgence, sporadic cases of influenza, but certainly when we look at RSV, the concern is that we now have, especially in the younger age groups, what we call an immunity gap. Because they've not been exposed, the likelihood of the older children, you know, greater than 6 months and so forth, now being exposed and becoming ill is of concern. And they may well also have severe outcomes. So that's primarily why I think there's this focus on RSV. But similarly with influenza, we have an immunity gap, which we should also consider.
You've just raised something that I don't think many people have considered, and it hasn't been spoken of as much as it should have. And that's the fact that with the sterilization, the hygiene, the wearing of masks, the cleaning of the hands, and people not being in close proximity to one another, and of course the not just the social distancing, but the actual lockdowns we went through, there is this gap, and there's also a generational gap of people with immunity that haven't been coming into contact with other people. And I think the public have missed the point of how dangerous influenza can actually be to people that haven't got those immunities, because it's also something that it evolves. Is that correct, Professor?
Absolutely, yes. So as you know, each year the WHO makes a decision with other experts as to what, in terms of what the likely strains would be or required to be in the flu vaccine, so both for the northern and the southern hemisphere. But we've had, as you quite rightly said, had very little influenza through both periods. So it's really critical again, and as you know, each year the NICD does release a document about the guidance, and again that includes high-risk groups. So you're quite right, the high-risk groups that should consider being vaccinated are, for example, pregnant women, older age groups, younger age groups, and those that have those comorbidities, again, such as hypertension, cardiac disease, and so on. So I again would encourage those individuals who fit into those high-risk groups to really consider vaccination. I think it's unfortunate that in South Africa we import doses, I think up to about 1 million or 2 million doses. But in fact, the utilization of those doses, again, is very poor. Healthcare workers should also be vaccinated against influenza. So that's another vulnerable group. And as you know, they've been vulnerable both for COVID-19 and they're vulnerable for influenza as well. So I really would encourage people to consider becoming vaccinated with the influenza vaccine.
And Professor Puren, the RSV is does the flu shot help
Yes.
prevent that as well?
No, it's a distinct virus, so influenza does not support or give any cross protection against RSV. So these are very distinct viruses. So if you're thinking of the cold, the common cold that we experience, apparently there are about 200 odd viruses that can be implicated in the cold virus. So I'm just touching on a few of these particular viruses that can present similarly to cold. But obviously, when you think of influenza and RSV, and especially in children, the symptomatology becomes really critical to say whether or not you need specific interventions, especially when there's difficulty in breathing, for example, low oxygenation. Those are really, and the child really appears really ill and having difficulty in breathing. Those are the children that really need attention, especially with RSV. Interestingly, children are, in terms of the transmission of viruses, influenza is the virus that children spread very, very readily from to adults. And so we should take note that again, children should be considered for vaccination. And again, hand hygiene, the wearing of masks can certainly assist in those particular conditions. And again, it's not a trivial disease. I know that COVID-19, we've seen officially, I think the numbers are 100 odd thousand people have died from COVID, which is an astonishing figure. It's probably triple that. But when we look at influenza, again, about from the models at least, we know that there are about at least 11,000 influenza deaths per year. So again, it's not a trivial figure.
Oh, well, I appreciate you bringing us up to date with that. And I must say, it was an eye-opener listening to you, especially regarding the fact that we've got this gap where people haven't been in contact with one another to build up that natural immunity. And therefore, we
Yes.
need to be more careful. We need to maintain the vigilance that we had during COVID-19.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, you know, because I know we focus a lot on infants that really are more severely infected with RSV, but because of this immunity gap, there's going to be a shift. And we predict, again, these are models. It may not turn out this particular way. We hope that it doesn't. But again, older age groups may still also be affected with RSV, and that again will put pressure on our ICUs and the need for oxygen. So again, readiness is so key for our hospitals and in particular our ICUs.
Professor Adrian Puren, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity.